As Sam said, my name is Georgia, and I've been coming to All Saints for about 3 years, I guess, now. And it's very exciting to be here. I love being here. It's also exciting, isn't it, that God speaks to us today, and that he speaks through his Bible, his word, his living word. Jenny was speaking to us last week, and she mentioned how God has breathed through scripture, that he lives through it, he speaks to us through it. And through these pages, we can learn about God, learn who he is, learn his character, what it means to be his church, the story of God and his people from the beginning. And it tells us of this good news of Jesus. And the good news, that phrase that comes up quite a lot in church life. We've got quite a few phrases which we bounce around all the time. What does it mean? What does good news mean? I'm going to give you, in one sentence, turn to the person next to you or behind you or in front of you and say in your own words, what is the good news to you? Go. I'll stop you there just in case some of you are struggling. I'm not going to ask you to say what you think, so don't worry. But there is so much that is packed into those two words, good news. And as Sam said this evening, we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. And believe it or not, in the genealogy of Jesus, possibly not the most boring part of the Bible, but a part that probably lots of us skim over, if I'm honest. Even in this, there is good news of Jesus. And I've got some wonderful readers for me so that I don't have to read this horrible passage with long names. So I'm just going to invite my readers to come out. Got a big laugh. And I'm going to ask my readers to come up onto the stage because this microphone apparently will pick the three of them up better, and as they are going to be speaking quickly from one to another, passing a microphone won't work best. I don't know if you've met these lovely ladies. Abby is our student and children's worker, and before September we didn't have any students, and now we have...
We had one.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Five, these two of them.
Now we have five, and these are two of them, Hannah and Ella. So they're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. If you have a Bible around you or on your phones, do you want to open it up? If you've got a church Bible, it is on page 965. And it's on the screen. Brilliant.
Is this mic picking us up? Yeah. Okay, we're going to really confidently go for some names here. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham.
Abraham was the father of Isaac. I'm sorry.
I got a bit ahead of myself there.
Isaac was the father of Jacob.
Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers.
Judah, the father of Perez and Zariah, whose mother was Tamar.
Perez, the father of Hezron.
Hezron, the father of Ram.
Ram, the father of Amminadab.
Amminadab, the father of Nahshon.
Nahshon, the father of Salmon.
Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab.
Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth.
Obed, the father of Jesse.
And Jesse, the father of King David.
David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife.
Solomon, the father of Rehoboam.
Rehoboam, the father of Abijah.
Abijah, the father of Asa.
Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeroham.
Jeroham, the father of Uzziah.
Uzziah, the father of Jotham.
Jotham, the father of Ahaz.
Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah.
Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh.
Manasseh, the father of Amon.
Amon, the father of Josiah.
And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon.
After the exile to Babylon.
Jenechoah was the father of Shetatari.
Shiatal, the father of Zerubbabel.
Zerubbabel, the father of Abuid.
Abuid, the father of Eliakim.
Eliakim, the father of Azor.
Azor, the father of Zadok.
Zadok, the father of Akim.
Akim, the father of Eluid.
Eluid, the father of Eleazar.
Eleazar, the father of Matan.
Matan, the father of Jacob.
And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Thus we are 14 generations from all Abraham to David, the 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and the 14 from exile to Christ.
I'm so pleased I didn't have to do that. Thank you very much. If you say it confidently, no one knows if you've got it wrong anyway. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. What we see in the nature and in the character of Jesus reveals to us the nature and character of who our God is. And in this passage that my lovely assistants read for us, starting with Abraham, Matthew takes us by generation, through the ancestry of Jesus until we read in chapter 16 that Jesus is born of Mary. We read that God in Jesus comes down to earth, born as a baby. This is our good news. That God in Jesus is born on earth to be with his people. Throughout the Bible, we read about God drawing close to his people. And here in this passage, we have such a clear image of this, such a clear image of God being born on earth as a baby to come to his people. Philippians 2 says, Jesus, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. This is our God, humbling himself and coming to earth as a baby to be with us, his church. When I was quite young, my mum took me to swimming lessons. And I don't remember much about them, but I remember this one lesson quite clearly because we were being taught how to do breaststroke, which is the one where your arms go out like this and your legs kick out like that. And I got the arm movement okay, but I couldn't get my head around how to do my legs and how to do my feet. And the teacher was at the side trying to explain in every way how to do this weird movement, which seems quite unhuman, really, more like a frog. And I just couldn't get my head round. And so my teacher had to get into the pool with me to come alongside me to show me exactly how to do it. This is true of our God. Jesus is born on earth, full in his humanity. And this reveals to us a God who comes alongside us. A God who deeply loves us and deeply cares for his church. And who longs to walk with us. A couple of weeks ago, we had a 20s and 30s weekend away. And over the weekend, we were looking at John chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking with his disciples in the upper room. And he tells him to remain in him, because apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. And I don't think Jesus says this as a threat. I don't think he's saying, stay in me, without me you can do nothing, so watch out. This is not a threat, this is a comfort to us, because we're not called to do life on our own. We're called to live in partnership with him, in partnership with Jesus through his Spirit. This is our good news, that God comes to his people so that we may live with him, alongside him. Each Wednesday morning, us as a staff team begin our day, normally in this room over there, with staff worship. And a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the passage of the parable of the sower, of the farmer who sows the seeds on different grounds. And Jenny, keep using Jenny as an example, she said some brilliant things recently. Jenny shared this picture with us that she got of a well-trodden, muddy path. And if you're ever walking in the woods, you probably will walk along a really muddy path, and it's more muddy because people have kept trodden on it and nothing is growing there. There is no life there. And the picture was saying that so often it seems that there might be no hope in parts of our lives. And she gave a challenge to herself, and she gave a challenge to us who were there to see if there are any parts of our lives that we felt are fruitless, we felt were like that. And she gave quite a surprising example. It surprised me, which I think what's kept it in my mind, of the idea of just popping to a cafe and how that might seem fruitless or might seem like nothing can come of that. It's quite a surprising thing to think about. But those fleeting moments in our lives, perhaps the routine things, the ordinary things, do we allow God into those areas? Do we believe that he can bring life into those areas? And thinking about that picture, tied in with what I was thinking about this passage here, that Jesus comes into this world, fully human, to come alongside us, his people, to be with us in every single part of our lives. And she challenged us to think, are there any parts that we need to invite him into? Are there any parts that we just don't think, oh, perhaps Jesus could come into those parts, perhaps not even thinking that he isn't in them? Psalm 46 gives a picture of a world full of noise and full of disaster. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake, and nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. In the midst of all of this imagery, God's voice cuts across it all and says, be still and know that I am God. We have the good news of a God who is with us in all things. This is a comfort to us. Invite him into those noisy, chaotic, disastrous parts of your life. And invite him into the routine moments, the shopping trips, popping to the post office or to the park. Invite him into the everyday and the ordinary. And this is a challenge because in those moments we might find that he nudges us by his spirit to do something that perhaps otherwise we wouldn't do. But this is our good news also, I think. Not that he just walks with us through our lives, but we walk with him, and that might lead us into situations that we might never choose to do on our own. I'm just going to share a picture that Nikki had as we were praying before the service of a big, juicy burger. And if you had a big, juicy burger in front of you and you were even the tiniest bit hungry, you'd probably dive straight into it. Yes. And she was given that as a picture for our service tonight of diving into God. But I thought this is relevant for all of life. That God is good, and that if he is readily available for us, and he calls us to dive in to all that he has in store for us. So invite him in. If there are parts of your life which, whether on purpose or not on purpose, whether you know it or not, that don't have him in, invite him into those areas. Dive into that. We've been looking at the book of Ruth for the last 4 weeks. And in the first couple of chapters, we read quite a sad, slightly disastrous story, really, of a woman whose husband dies, her brother-in-law dies, her mother-in-law's husband has died, and she moves with her mother-in-law as a foreigner to Bethlehem and works effectively the job of a beggar, or a job of someone who has worked from in no other means, by collecting grain from the edge of a field that the harvesters have missed. This is not the perfect life that we might imagine someone in a genealogy of Jesus having. But we see her come into Matthew chapter 1. She is in the genealogy of Jesus. And this is a picture to us of a God who is born into our pain and born into our brokenness. He's not disconnected from it, but goes through it with us. And this isn't just evident from reading the genealogy, but we see this in the life of Jesus, how he lives. And in John chapter 11, we read about the death of Lazarus, who is a friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus isn't separate from our pain, isn't separate from our brokenness, but he goes through it with us and he comes alongside us in our pain. This is good news for us. And then as we carry on studying Ruth, we see that she goes on to marry Boaz, and they give birth to Obed, who is a father of Jesse, the father of King David. And King David is a great king. In Samuel 1:14, it says that the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. He is a powerful king, a great ruler. And later on, we read that he goes to have an affair with Bathsheba, and then she gets pregnant, and then he kills her husband to try and cover it all up. And here again, David is in the genealogy of Jesus. And this life that David has, in some ways is perfect, but in some ways is so broken and so messy. But Jesus is born into that mess and into that brokenness. And in that, he is our Redeemer. If we jump to Easter, I know we're in Christmas now, but we jump to Easter, what Christmas is looking towards. We see the story of Jesus dying on a cross for us. He redeems us. It is his righteousness. It's not our own. This is our good news, that he comes into our world and comes alongside his people in our pain, in our brokenness, and in our messiness. And this genealogy isn't just random. Jesus was placed on earth at a certain time through a certain group of people. These people aren't by chance put in this genealogy. But God doesn't shy away from our mess or from our brokenness or from our pain. It's full of people who sometimes get things right and sometimes get things wrong. In other words, it is full of people like you and me. God in Jesus is born into the world for everyone, for all people. There are no exceptions for who Jesus came for. And Jesus illustrates this as well in the way that he lives. In John chapter 4, we read about Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus left Judah and went back once more to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. And Jesus stops near a well, and there's a Samaritan woman there. And he asks the woman, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus is breaking so many norms, so many boundaries by doing that one simple act. Jews would never go into Samaria, and they would never talk to a Samaritan woman. But he is illustrating that he has come for every single person. He's come for all. And that story of the Samaritan woman, that's not a unique case. The gospel is full of Jesus hanging out with ordinary, sinful people. Normal people. Perhaps unexpected people, but people just like you and me. All sorts. There are no exceptions to who Jesus has come for. He came for everyone. One of my favourite bands is a group called Runrig. Not expecting anyone to have heard from them. They're a Scottish folk band, but they're brilliant. And this summer they are doing their last ever tour. And they're finishing in Scotland, in Stirling Castle. And I've always wanted to see them live. And the time came, but the tickets sold out straight away, obviously completely gutted. But they sold out so quickly that they put on another show, so they had more tickets to sell. And I didn't hear this, but my friends heard about it, and they phoned my sister, and they booked tickets, but they never told me. I missed out. I was so gutted when I heard this. For me, this would have been such good news. Do you see where I'm going with this? We're in on this wonderful secret of Jesus, this wonderful good news of who he is, coming down to earth to be with his people, to come alongside us in every part of our lives, in the ordinary, in the pain, in the mess, in the brokenness. He came for every part of our life, and he came for every single person as well. The good news is not meant to be our secret. It is good news for everyone. But it's not always easy to tell others about this good news, and I am particularly bad at it. Certainly don't stand on a pedestal when I am saying this to you. Not long after I started working for All Saints, it was time to get haircut. I hate going to the hairdressers. I try to avoid it all the time. Don't particularly like speaking to people. And you're stuck in a chair with someone you don't know, and they're speaking to you, and it's not my favourite thing at all. And the painful small talk question always comes up. So what do you do? And so I work for a church, so obviously I would say, well, I work for a church, and what a great chance that is to open up the conversation of Jesus and the good news. And so I'm sat in a chair, and a question is asked, so what do you do? And I bottle it, and I say, oh, I work for a charity, which is technically true, because All Saints is a charity. But that's not the point. I completely chickened out. I decided not to open up this great possibility of a conversation that could lead me to telling them about the good news of Jesus. I worried about what she might think. I worried that I wouldn't have any answers for her. And part of me thinks as well that they might just not be interested in what I have to say. They might not be interested in this God that I love and serve, that this good news might not be for them. What a lie that is. How I wish I'd had the good news of these Runrig tickets coming out on sale. This good news is for everyone. Jesus came in his humanity, in his humility, to reconcile all things to himself, all people to himself. Graham Tomlin wrote a book called The Prodigal Spirit, and he says this in it. Life in the Spirit is both radically inclusive and radically exclusive. The Spirit reaches out to all of life and all of creation in the love of God. Once we are in the Spirit, nothing that is created can be foreign to us, because all God created is good and capable of redemption. All God created is good and capable of redemption. All God created is created to be with God, to know his love, to walk with him. I am not to decide who this good news is for, who he is calling to himself, because he calls all people to himself. His Spirit is at work in this world, reconciling all things to him, all people to him, and we are to join in with that. Jesus is our good news, and his good news for everyone. And at Christmas, this is such a good opportunity. At Christmas, people come to church who wouldn't normally come to church. People might be more open about hearing what it is that we believe about Christmas. What we believe is all about who we see Jesus is.